Okay, we are up to Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis of Maseches Megillah. It says the Mishnah as follows: Kra'a Sirugin Misnamne Miyatza. Some more qualifications for how a person was, the state that they were in when they were reading the Megillah. So the Mishnah says, if a person read the Megillah in parts, meaning they read part of it, then they like stopped, and then they continued. Unclear exactly how long the Mishnah is implying the break was, but okay, not for right now. Or let's say the person was like, he was like asleep, he was like dozing on and off. Misnamnim literally means it's like a half sleep. Like, you know, we know those people who are like sort of dozing on and off, eyes open, eyes closed, etc. So in both of these cases, if a person read a Megillah either in parts or read it when he was like half asleep, so he has then fulfilled his obligation. He is Yotze. Haya kusva dorsha umagiha. If he was writing a Megillah, and as he was writing it, so that means he would recite each verse and then copy it down, and he was copying from another Megillah, or he was explaining it to Megillah, or he was correcting it to Megillah, and throughout the course of all these things, he basically read the whole Megillah from a kosher Megillah. So im kivein libo yatsa, if he had the kavana that he was performing the mitzvah while he was reading, then he is yotzi, he has fulfilled his obligation, v'imla, but if not, lo yatsa, then he has not fulfilled his obligation. So again, as long as he has the kavana, it's okay, but if he doesn't have the kavana, then it's not okay. Okay, now we're going to learn a little bit in this mission about how the Megillah needs to be read in terms of what materials need to be used. Haisa kesuva besam, v'sikra, v'komos, v'kan kantom. So let's say you have a Megillah that was written with the ink, the English word is orpiment, which is like a yellow dye, vermilion, a red dye, gum arabic, which is like a tree sap, or pharos sulfate, which is like an iron salt, says the translation over here, al haniyar vel hadiftura, or if it was written on paper or on unfinished parchment, either one of those. So if the Megillah was written in with any of these previous things, lo yatsa, then a person who reads from this Megillah is not going to be yotze his Megillah reading. Acha tehe kesuva ashuris al hasefer uvidiyo, until it was written in ashuris, which is right, the Hebrew script that we've spoken about before, on parchments and in black ink, which we understand the black ink, then it means that once it's written on the parchment, it will remain its black color. A quick note about this Mishnah. We said previously that it doesn't have to be written in Ashuris, it could be written in theory in French, as long as the people know as long as the people understand the language of French. So it seems like the Mishnah was just basically using this as an example, because if it was written in Hebrew with a black ink on parchment, then for everyone, a person will be yotze if they read from this Megillah, even if they don't even understand the words. But again, it could be in theory be written in any other language. So the qualifications seem to be that at the very least, it must be written on parchment and in this black ink. Okay, Mishnah Gimel. Ben ir shahalach lechrach uven krach shahalach leir. So we mentioned previously, all the way back in towards the beginning of Perek Aleph, that a person who is in a walled city from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, then he reads the Megillah on the 15th, and a person who's not in a walled city from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, he reads the Megillah on the 14th as a general rule, and that is obviously something that we still follow until this very day. So if you, for example, you go to Israel, so in Yerushalayim, they'll celebrate Purim on the 15th, whereas in other cities, Alon Shvut, for example, so they celebrate Purim on the 14th. So what a lot of people do is they actually, in theory, could even celebrate 2 days of Purim if you play it the right way. So it says the Mishnah, Ben Ir Shalach L'Chrach Ben Krach Shalach L'Ir. If you have a person who lives in an unwalled town, and then they went to a walled city, or the opposite, a person who lives in a walled city who went to an unwalled town, so the halacha would be as follows: Ema Sidlach Hazor L'Mkomo Koriv Kimkomo. If he will return to his hometown before what we understand to be probably like Alosa, before dawn, on Purim morning, and he reads the Megillah on the same day as in his hometown. So if he is in the unwalled city on the 14th, and he goes back in the middle of the night to his walled city, then he will not read Megillah on the 14th, he'll read it on the 15th. But if he stays there past dawn, then he would read it on the 14th, since he stayed there until after dawn on Purim morning. So again, he would read it in that place and not in his hometown. If you would go back, so that's a more complicated question, not for right this second, but that's the general rule. If you're going to return to your hometown before dawn on Purim morning, then he reads the Megillah in his hometown. Ve'im lav kore imahen. But if he will not leave the place he is visiting until after dawn, he reads the Megillah together with them, meaning with the residents of the place that he is visiting. Umehechan kore adam es Megillah v'yotzei va'yudechu v'so. So asks the Mishnah an interesting question. where does a person have to begin reading the Megillah in order to fulfill his obligation of reading Megillah? So Rabbi Meir Omer Kulas. Rabbi Meir says, quite simply, what do you mean? He has to read the whole thing. We know we have to read Megillah Esther, so just read Megillah Esther, all of it, from the first pasuk to the very end. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Me'ish Yehudi, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's okay if he doesn't read the first parak and change, and he just starts from Me'ish Yehudi, which can be found in the second parak by the fifth pasuk. If he just starts from there, then that in theory would mean that he would still be Yotze. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Me'achar Hadvarim Ha'ilah. Rabbi Yossi says, no, he actually, even the first two parakim don't need to be read at all. In theory, if he starts from Me'achar Hadvarim Ha'ilah, which is the beginning of the third parak, then he'll be Yotze. Everyone seems to agree that you would have to read until the end. Again, it seems like we, at the end of the day, do pass him like Rabbi Meir, at least practically, if a person, in theory, did find themselves in either of these situations, it would still probably be recommended to go back to the beginning of the Megillah and read from the beginning. Okay, we'll do one more quick Mishnah over here. Mishnah Dalid. Hakol Kasher and the Krosas Megillah. Everyone is kosher to read the Megillah for other people. And obviously for themselves as well, it would seem. Chutz mecherish shota vekata, except for a person who is deaf, a person who is like mentally ill or clinically insane, something like that, and a minor. These people are not obligated to read the Megillah in their own right, therefore they can't read it for others who would be obligated. But says the Mishnah, qualifies by this is Rabbi Yehuda machshir bekatan. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, actually a katan can read it for adults, because since we have to are obligated to train a katan to do mitzvah, so if he reads the Megillah, since he is obligated to be trained, then if he reads it for others, then he would be then it would be a kosher reading. Now the obvious group of people that is left out of this Mishnah that some might think should be included is women. It seems like women are 100% kosher to read Megillah, and so that is obviously the source of a very large dispute nowadays. It seems like for the most part, most people have come out leniently, at least in our communities, that it's okay for women to read the Megillah. Again, not a topic or a conversation for right now, but that is left out of the Mishnah entirely. Okay, just a few more lines over here. In Korinnes Megillah, a person can't read the Megillah. Below Malin, nor can a person do a bris milah, below Toblin, nor can a person go to a mikveh to become purified from Tumah, below Mazin, nor can a person sprinkle the Mechatas water to purify either a person or Kalim from Tumah. V'chein Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom Lo Sitbol, nor can a woman who is what we call Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. It's a woman who has some sort of a discharge, either for one day or 2 days, and she's basically on the clean day, so she's then going to go immerse in mikveh. That's what we call a shomeres yom keneged yom. It's one day corresponding, one day of clean corresponding the one day of, or 2 days of having some sort of a discharge. So she can't go to the mikveh. All these people, and they can't do these actions until sunrise. V'kulan she'asu misha'ala amura shachar kasher. But nonetheless, in all these situations, if one did do the mitzvah after Amud HaShachar, there's a little bit of light that's appearing in the sky, so which obviously is before sunrise. In all these cases, kosher. It's going to be a valid. It's going to be valid, whatever the action was. Okay, that brings us to the end of Mishnah Dalet. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Hay. For now, we'll stop right here.